Good morning. This is Birdie reading the commercial news for Thursday, December 31st, 2020. Vaccinations begin. Three more deaths reported as surge continues. Staff report. The first shipments of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine arrived in Vermilion County Wednesday morning, and vaccinations began at local health care facilities by Wednesday afternoon. Douglas Toole, Public Health Administrator for the Vermilion County Health Department, said the shipment to the health department contained 500 doses of vaccine, as well as the necessary syringes, alcohol prep pads, PPE, and vaccination reminder cards. The initial shipment for local hospitals, 500 doses for OSF in Danville, 400 doses for Carl in Hoopston, also arrived at those facilities. Vaccinations began at the OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center by 2 p.m. for healthcare staff. Kurt Squires, Community Relations Coordinator for OSF Healthcare in Urbana, said vaccinations would continue at the OSF Danville Medical Center throughout yesterday and for as long as supplies hold up. Toole said plans are underway to begin vaccination clinics to healthcare providers and first responders at health departments next week. When we are able to begin vaccinating critical infrastructure workers, those with underlying health conditions, seniors, and the general public will depend on how often we receive shipments of vaccine, how much vaccine is provided in those shipments, and how many healthcare workers and first responders want to receive the vaccine in January, Toole said. Health officials had been awaiting arrival of the first shipment for several days as confirmed cases of COVID-19 continues to surge throughout the county. Three more deaths related to COVID-19 in Vermilion County were reported on Tuesday evening, raising the county's death toll from the virus to 77. The deaths included a man in his 40s, a woman in her 70s, and a woman in her 90s. The health department also reported 91 new COVID-19 cases. Those new cases bring the county's total since the pandemic began in March to 5,532, of which 667 are active. There are 41 people hospitalized. On Monday, health officials reported 88 new cases of COVID-19 in the county. The state's mobile COVID testing team was in Danville at the health department Wednesday, and Toole reported early in the day that people were in line to receive tests. He expected the testing site to be busy throughout the day. The mobile testing site will be in operation again throughout the day on Thursday, beginning at 8 a.m. Danville Prison racked by COVID-19, staff reports. The COVID-19 case toll continues to mount at the Danville Correctional Center. The Illinois Department of Corrections reports that at least one-third of the approximate inmate population of 1,546 males has tested positive for the virus since the major outbreak began late fall, and the numbers are still growing. On Tuesday evening, IDOC listed 679 confirmed COVID-19 cases among inmates of the medium security prison since the pandemic began in March, with 563 of those cases current and 116 have recovered. The staff has also been hit hard by the virus, with 132 cases confirmed since March. Of those, 51 remain active cases and 81 have recovered. The surging case numbers have been reflected in the Vermilion County Health Department's recent daily reports. Last Saturday, health officials reported more than 500 new cases, which it attributed to the outbreak at a congregated living facility. The stats listed those affected as having a wide range of ages. In an effort to deal with the prison outbreak, IDOC states that it is taking aggressive steps to protect staff and men and women in custody by implementing surveillance and outbreak mitigation testing strategies. The mitigation effort began the week of December 6th as the outbreak surged. When implementing at a facility, all staff will be routinely tested, and the frequency of testing will be determined by the Office of Health Services based on the positivity rate in the county in which the facility is located. According to IDOC, when the Office of Health Services identifies an outbreak at a facility, all staff and individuals in custody at that facility will be tested approximately every 3 days until no new cases are identified for 14 days. At that time, the outbreak will be considered under control, and the staff will undergo COVID-19 testing in accordance with the facility surveillance testing protocol. DMT to Think Big for Expansion by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. A facility study was completed this year for Danville Mass Transit Jackson Street building. DMT Director Lisa Beeth said there are several designs for reworking the building, which includes administration offices to be more customer-friendly and also allow more usable space for staff. Design options include acquiring more land to build on the maintenance facility and reworking the configuration of offices to allow a bigger lobby area for customers. The lobby would have a seating area. Beeth said, there's a lot of things they will have to consider in looking at the design. There is an adjacent business parking lot and other land surrounding the building to the north and south for possible expansion. Farnsworth Group was hired for the feasibility study through the Danville Area Transportation Study Group, not to exceed $30,000. Beeth said they need more garage, break room, and other large spaces. Bus parking also is at capacity. COVID has taught us a lot about our facility. This place is pretty small, and we're paying the price for it, she said, about not being able to social distance in some areas. Changes being looked at the DMT building are Americans with Disabilities Act accommodations for the office's small ticket and lobby area, and making it larger, more functional, dispatch and office space, dedicated training and meeting office space, employee lunch and break areas, maintenance expansion for more indoor bus storage, tools and part storage, and an upgrade to the existing garage area. This was really preliminary, Beeth said, of the facility study, adding that there isn't one design they are absolutely settled on. There are good and bad things about all of them. We'll wait and see how much room we have to work with. DMT has received $2.2 million in Rebuild Illinois funds for land acquisition for the administrative maintenance addition and other upcoming projects. The funding will be used to purchase 4 35-foot low-floor replacement buses, replace underground diesel fuel and waste storage tanks at 101 North Jackson Street, acquire land for administrative maintenance upgrade and addition, and procure architectural engineering services for administrative maintenance upgrade additions. Beeth said the first project to address in 2021 will be to replace the underground storage tanks. With funding, too, for the additional land purchase, they'll move forward with architectural and engineering planning depending on what design they decide to go with, she said. The Illinois Department of Transportation expects the grant will be ready for execution after the first of the year. DMT will look in the immediate area for property to purchase. Beeth said they need to think ahead, too, in planning with the casino coming and ridership increasing regarding buses and staffing. We're going to think big, Beath said. Other funding DMT has received has been through the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act. CARES. We use a lot of CARES money to pay for operating expenses to offset not collecting fares, Beath said. Fares total upwards of $100,000 every quarter. That's such a vital part of our operating money, Beath said, adding especially with those champagne fares. DMT began bus fare suspension in March at the start of the coronavirus pandemic. Starting in January, they will begin collecting bus fares again. She said it's been nice not to collect fares in a couple of ways for most of the year. It's helped limit personal contact between riders and drivers, and it's helped people who may have lost a job or needed free transportation to places. Ridership has been down about 6% from last year. It's not huge, Beath said, adding that people are riding again. Take Flat Lincoln on a trip. Staff report. Danville. For the past 55 years, the Vermilion County Museum Society has celebrated Lincoln's birthday with a card contest for 4th and 5th grade students and a celebratory open house. Due to COVID restrictions, the celebration for 2021 has been canceled. Instead, the Museum Society is sponsoring the Vermilion County Museum Lincoln Birthday Blitz. Students of all ages are encouraged to take Flat Lincoln to their favorite historic sites, even outside, and photograph him as he visits. These sites can also include a park, school, public building, special house, farm, library, etc. Remember, Lincoln loves to learn about new things. Then post the photograph on Facebook using the hashtag #VCM-Lincoln and #FlatLincoln so your posts can be shared with others. Include your first name, grade level, and school name when posting. For adults who are also encouraged to participate, include your first name and town. Photographs can be submitted beginning January 1st, 2021 through February 12th, 2021. Flat Lincolns can be obtained at the Vermilion County Museum in the outside information box near the white fence at the Herb Garden. Others can be obtained by going to www.lookingforlincoln.org, clicking on Explore, and then Flat Lincoln for Children. Usually, the museum receives over 600 cards to help celebrate Lincoln's birthday. The goal is for Lincoln to visit at least 200 places around Vermilion County. Staff will be checking the posts and highlighting some on the Vermilion County Museum Facebook page. Help us make this a Lincoln birthday celebration to remember. For additional information, call the museum Tuesday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. at 217-442-2922. Community Briefs, Danville. DMT resumes fare collection. Danville Mass Transit plans to resume fare collection on Monday, January 4th, 2021. DMT requests that any of their partner agencies whose clients regularly use the bus remind riders to update their DMT passes, purchase tickets, or be prepared to pay the regular fee that were in place prior to March 2020. This does not include riders who are eligible for and use the ADA service provided by CRIS, Rural Mass Transit. DMT is working on a solution to provide touchless fare collection for ADA riders, but until that time, fares will be continued to be waived on board those buses. Since March, DMT has put additional safety measures into place, such as disinfecting buses between shifts and at the end of the service day. We have also installed barriers between drivers and customers to further limit exposure, and we have a mandatory mask requirement on board the buses. All fare collection is completely touchless. If you have any questions about the fares or the service, you may contact DMT at 217-431-0653. You may access our website at www.ridemt.org. Our app, ETASPOT, can be downloaded through Google Play Store or the App Store, and PC or Mac users may access dmtpublic.etaspot.net. And now the obituaries for December 31st. Samuel Pyatt. Samuel Dean Pyatt, 78, of Gifford, formerly of Armstrong, left his earthly home on December 27th, 2020, after a 16-year battle with Parkinson's disease, at home with his family by his side. Given the current health guidelines, there will be a private family service. Memorials may be made to Middle Fork United Methodist Church, I&I Antique Tractor Club, Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson Research, or a charity of your choice. Helen Bechtold, Warren, Indiana. Helen Bechtold, 94, of Warren, Indiana, passed away on Wednesday, December 16th, 2020, at Lutheran Hospital of Indiana in Fort Wayne. Services for Helen will be held at a later date. Arrangements are being handled by Glancy H. Brown and Son Funeral Home in Warren, Indiana. Donna K. Holt. With profound sadness, we announce the passing of Donna K. Farrell Holt on December 27th, 2020. Donna left this life and received her angel wings surrounded by her husband and children at home in Lincoln, California. A celebration of Donna's life will be held at a later date. An expression of sympathy, memorial donations may be made to the Hoopston United Methodist Church in Hoopston, Illinois. Community Church in 950 East Joyner Parkway, Lincoln, California. Dorothy E. Highland, Westville. Dorothy E. Slazes Highland passed away on Thursday, December 24th, 2020, at her home. A private family celebration of life service will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, at Crossroads Christian Church in Danville, 3613 North Vermilion Street. Miles Clark will officiate. A public graveside committal service will be held at 12 noon on at Sunset Memorial Park, following services at the church. Visitation will be on Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, at the church from 10 to 11 a.m. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, is assisting with arrangements. Gerald Smith. Gerald Jerry Smith, 89, of Danville, peacefully passed away Monday, December 21st, 2020. A graveside service will be held at 10:30 a.m. on July 29th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville has been entrusted with the arrangements. Memorial donations in Jerry's name may be made to the Humane Society of Danville. John Frederick Gooden, 94, passed away on December 28, 2020, at Sacred Heart Hospital in Danville. Due to COVID-19, a graveside service will be held at the West Lebanon Cemetery, on Saturday, January 2nd, 2020, at 2 o'clock p.m., with full military honors. The family requests that all guests adhere to CDC guidelines regarding social distancing. Grady Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. Annetta Nguyen. Annetta Nguyen, 88, of Danville, passed away December 27, 2020, at Accolade Healthcare in Danville. Annetta will be buried next to her husband in Oak Hill Cemetery in Oakwood. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Jeremy Burr Alder. Jeremy Jerry Burr Alder, 1956 to 2020, 64, of London, Ohio, passed away suddenly on November 30th. A celebration of life will be held at Rader Lynch and Dodds Funeral Home in London, Ohio, on January 9th, 2021, from 1 to 3 p.m., with a prayer service at 3 p.m. Jerry will be buried in Hillsboro, Indiana, next to his father. Another celebration will be held at that time. Information on the latter will be announced in the coming months. All are welcome to both. Dan Whitaker. Dan Whitaker, 69, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at 3:30 a.m. Monday, December 28th, at St. Vincent Heart Center, Carmel, Indiana. A graveside service will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday, January 4th, 2021, at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. Visitation will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Covington, Indiana. Memorial donations may be given in his name to the donor's choice of charity or Little League Sports in Covington, Indiana. James G. Everson. James G. Everson, 89, of Covington, passed away at 8:07 a.m. Monday, December 28th, 2020, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center. A celebration of James' life will be held privately at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Covington, Indiana, 420 3rd Street, Covington, with Rich Sadler officiating. Public visitation will be 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, January 2nd, 2020, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Mount Hope Cemetery, Covington. These obituaries were received by 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Rossville, Bone, Stephen B., 62, passed away at 1:55 a.m. Tuesday, December 29, 2020, at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. Graveside services, 10 a.m. Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, at Bethel Cemetery in Alvin. Anderson Funeral Home in Hoopston is handling the arrangements. Garrison Donald, 72, passed away at 10:42 a.m. Monday, December 28, 2020, at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Care Center. Public visitation, 10 to 11 a.m. Monday, January 4th, at Anderson Funeral Home. A private graveside service will be held. West Lebanon, Indiana, Schaefer Philip Allen Al, 64, passed away at 4:55 p.m. December 25th, 2020, at IU Health Arnett in Lafayette. Visitation, Grady Funeral Home on Saturday, January 2nd, 2021, from 4 p.m. until service time at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Illinois delivers more than 269,000 vaccines. By Sarah Manser, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. As Illinois' COVID-19 hospitalizations and case numbers have stabilized since the second wave highs last month, the governor's office announced 126,211 vaccines were administered throughout the state, including Chicago, as of Tuesday evening. The state has delivered 108,225 vaccine doses of Pfizer and 161,400 doses of Moderna to hospitals throughout the state, not including Chicago, according to Governor J.B. Pritzker's spokesperson. On Wednesday, the Illinois Department of Public Health reported 7,374 new confirmed and probable cases of COVID-19 in Illinois and 178 additional deaths caused by the virus. The state's death toll has reached 16,357 among 955,380 cases and more than 13 million test results reported since the beginning of the pandemic. As of Tuesday night, 4,244 in Illinois were hospitalized with COVID-19, a decrease of 69 from the prior day, leaving roughly 28% of hospital beds available statewide. Of those, 882 COVID-19 patients were in the ICU, a decrease of 22 from the prior day, and 496 patients with COVID were on ventilators, a decrease of 10 from the prior day. That left about 22% of ICU beds available statewide and about 72% of ventilators available. The preliminary 7-day statewide case positivity rate from December 23rd to 29th is 7.6%, which is 0.2% higher than the 7-day average rate reported on Tuesday. The 7-day statewide case positivity rate has remained below 8% for 11 consecutive days. From November 7th to December 7th, that rate stayed above 10%, prompting Pritzker to implement Tier 3 mitigations throughout the state on November 20th. Out of the state's 11 mitigation regions, only 4 regions, regions 3, 4, 5, and 10, have not met the conditions laid out for Pritzker's administration to return to Tier 2 mitigations from Tier 3. The other 6 regions have experienced a test positivity rate less than 12% for 3 consecutive days, had greater than 20% available intensive care unit and medical or surgical bed availability for 3 consecutive days, and saw a decline in the number of COVID-19 patients in the hospital and at least 7 of 10 days. Although Tier 2 mitigations still prohibit indoor dining at restaurants or bars, a return to Tier 2 mitigations would lessen strict capacity limits at retail stores and other Illinois businesses and allow casinos and video gambling terminals to reopen. When Pritzker was asked about returning to Tier 2 last week, he said he has no immediate plans to lift the Tier 3 mitigations currently in effect statewide. The challenge that we have is what we don't want to do is swing back and forth between mitigations and not having mitigations within days or weeks or two of one another. Pritzker said we need to bring it down even further for a longer period of time. And this is Birdie signing off, reading the Capital City News for December 31st, 2020. Happy New Year, and enjoy the sunshine.